Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 3. Somebody don't go all the way back to 1, Pastor. Chapter 3, verses 17 through 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, 17 through 22. Let's all stand if we can for the Word of God. Amen. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer well. Excuse me, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing.
Yes, yes.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, where few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like vigor whereunto even baptism do also now save us, not to put it in the way of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the Word of God and the powerful preaching of the Apostle Peter, the encouraging preaching of Peter designed to help folks who suffer.
Yes, Lord.
Father, thank you for strengthening us, Father God, as we suffer through. We live in a suffering world, Father God, and suffering is all around us, Father God, but glory be to you. Who's given us the strength, Father God, to endure and to keep moving forward, Father God, as we walk this Christian journey. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the Word of God. Use it, Father God, to strengthen our soul today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll talk today about the suffering Christian. Embarked on 1 Peter, seems like months ago. I believe this is probably sermon 23, 24, somewhere in that area. We've been going through Peter verse by verse, and it gets a little bit difficult sometimes to stay the course, and you know, some of these different subjects you may want to speak to, but God has placed it on my heart to preach through the Word of God, verse by verse, and especially this chapter of Peter.
Amen.
Verse number 17, and again, when we look at Peter, remember, Peter's talking to folks that are being persecuted for their faith, okay? And I think you need to really emphasize that folks are being persecuted for their faith. And I think what we need to understand is trials are going to come.
Amen.
Whether you saved or unsaved.
Amen.
Whether you know the Lord or not, trials are going to come.
Amen.
Okay? A lot of folks say, well, you know, you get going to church and get saved and everything's going to be fine and you're going to be wonderful. No, you're going to have trials.
Amen.
You're going to have trials. How you deal with the trials is the key.
Amen.
For the saints, our trials are given to us for us to be victorious and to be strong and to strengthen us and to prepare us for really the next trial. I heard someone say, you either in trouble or head for trouble just getting out. So if you just get out, I don't know what that all says to you. Some of us are right in the midst of trials, we speak, going through. But these Christians were called to testify, to live for God. And you heard Brother Dunleavy praying this morning in a crazy world, in a sick world, in the TVs and the movies and the sports, and we can go on and on and on, and there's so much coming at you every day, not alone the sickness of relatives and family members and loved ones. And you would think the world would be open to the Word of God, but the world is hostile to the Word of God.
Amen.
The world is unfriendly to those that would call themselves Christians, and you may go and talk to someone that's struggling, and they're struggling in their life. You talk to them about the things of God, and they'll think you crazy. They may say unpleasant things to you because of your faith. And because of that, people were giving up. People were giving up. Peter was watching them give up. So like a football team down in the second half, and instead of the team binding together and unifying, their folks just quitting.
Uh-huh.
You just quit. They're just laying it down, not giving their all. And this is sort of like a halftime speech. I look at this as a halftime speech. And Peter's giving it to them. Don't quit. Don't quit. Hang in there. And the Word of God is just full of scriptures that are designed to help us when we want to quit. And I have a few here. I left a list out there. Sitting. They're going to be on the table when we come out. But I have 12 verses. This 12, and I'm not going to read them all. About what to do when you want to quit. What to do when you want to quit. And we know Philippians 4:13. Most of us have been in church for a little bit. We know that it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I like the song because the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. If you read the Psalms in Matthew almost on a regular basis, read the Psalms on Sunday morning. But here's Psalm 28, and here's David. David was a hearted man. He was on the run. David did some things that caused him problems. But here's what he would say. He said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of the righteousness even of thine own. David kept God close to him. I think one of the songs we sang this morning, walking close to the Lord. This is David in Psalm 18, in 32. He says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. No wonder God, David was a man after God's own heart. He never took credit for any of the good things that he done. He always just poured them out on the Lord.
Yeah.
How you doing today? How you doing in your life and your walk? I didn't even answer that for anybody in here. Now, I'm not talking about financially. Some of you may be doing real well financially. I don't have to worry about going check to check. Don't have any bills coming in. But how you doing spiritually?
Amen.
How you handle adversity? Because I don't care who you are, rich or poor. All you gotta do is watch the news. Rich or poor, both going through.
Amen.
Joshua said this. I have it on my wall. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doeth good. Go with thee, and He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The Word of God is designed to help us as we suffer through this world. Matthew chapter says that it's a narrow road that we're on as Christians. And the narrow road is hard to travel. When the world is on four lanes, we go down south in Atlanta, places they have 8 lanes, 12 lanes, and we're on this narrow road. What did Peter say to these folks? They were struggling? They were going through? Here's how Peter responded to them. And they were ready to quit. They were ready to give up. For doing good. 1 Peter 3:17 says this. He says, what is better? If the will of God be so. What's he talking about? Some of our struggles God has designed for us, just for us.
Amen.
Just for us. And Peter, if Peter knows this, and Peter says, if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a problem suffering for evil doing. The thief on the cross didn't have a problem suffering for what he had done. He told the other thing, we rightly deserve this. We're getting what we deserve. We knew the law would be broken. But if they had been put on the cross like Christ, sinless, without sin, and one thief looked over and said, but this man has done nothing. Nothing. And we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to talk about suffering when you're doing right. You're going to work every day, you punch the clock, you're on time, all your work's done, and the boss is just breaking you over the coals. Just giving you the blues. And you want to lash out. You want to lash out, but that person may just be looking at you and may see Christ in you. You're going to struggle if your light is shining in this dark world. And you know, Peter never forgot. He never forgot those lessons, because when Jesus told him that he was going to suffer, Peter rebuked the Lord. We've seen that in Matthew 16. And Jesus began to tell them the word of God. He began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer. Oh, we don't like the word. We don't like that suffering word. And suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. That was a lot for Peter to absorb. He didn't understand it all. And here's Peter. And then Peter took him, grabbed the Lord, shook him up. Lord, you can't be serious. And he began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter took the matter in his own hand. And we would have done the same thing. We don't want to jump on Peter, but we would have done the same thing. We have a loved one to say and all that. Well, grab said, no, that's not going to happen. Not as long as I'm on the scene. That's his true love. But Jesus showed Peter some true love too.
Uh-huh.
See, sometimes love is difficult. Sometimes love has to be tough and upfront and confrontational. And all we think of is just oozy, milky, swirly, sugary love.
Amen.
Some of the greatest love you show your loved one is when you confront them in the error of their ways. But he turned and said to Peter, the Lord, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Satan has stepped in the scene, and Satan will use anybody in this church.
Amen.
He don't care. He's not choosing. He's not selective. He will use you to stop the move of God. Be careful,
folks.
Be watchful. The Bible says, be vigilant. Be sober. Your adversary, the devil, will use you. He will use you. He will use you. Listen. Peter continued to talk to these disciples, to these followers, and he reminds them for the fourth time. For the fourth time in this book, he reminds them that Jesus suffered. And when I looked at this, I was like, I was talking to Ray and Michael. And I think Clayton was with us, and I was talking about the records the other day, and we was riding out in the car, riding down the street, and I said, you guys are too young, you don't remember the big black vinyl records, you get a scratch on them. And it would just repeat the same thing, you know, whatever you listened to, whatever it was, I don't know what you guys were listening to, I'm not going to tell you what I was listening to, Earth, Wind, Fire. Okay, and it would scratch. And they say, you have a broken record.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Cindy says that sometimes in her mind. She don't say it out loud. She don't even have a broken record. She says the same things to the kids all the time. You know, they ain't listening to you. You like a broken record. Well, Peter was like a broken record. And in 1 Peter 2:21, he says this, Christ has also suffered for us. He constantly talked about Christ suffering, because I really don't really see Peter ever forgot the day when Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. He wanted to stop the suffering. And Jesus said, I have to suffer. I have to die. I'm gonna be humiliated and spit on and persecuted. They're gonna whip me. They're gonna do all this. And then I'm gonna rise again on the third day.
Yeah.
1 Peter 3:18. He suffered for our sins. 1 Peter 4:1. Next week, he suffered for us in the flesh. 1 Peter 4:13. Here's Peter talking again. But rejoice. How about that? In so much that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You're going to suffer this life.
Amen.
Don't sit here and say, well, I want to live a suffer-free life. That's not possible.
Amen.
For one, it's not biblical. For two, so when the preachers and y'all watch the TV guys, they say, you know, you ought not suffer. Mm-hmm. Man of God, woman of God, you're living good, you ought not suffer. You know, get the remote and make sure and you get that off. Because the Word of God said many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Amen.
Your suffering may be confirmation that you are on the right track.
Amen.
That you are on the right track. Listen. We can do this. Peter said to his troops, we can do this. We can overcome. We can come back. Don't quit. But like anyone knows, in the business that we're in, whether it's corrections, whether it's in sports, whether it's in the marketplace, folks are going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be casualties. They're going to be losses. They're going to be victims.
Amen.
And Peter is just reminding his folks that, listen, we're in a tough business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Everybody's not going to be saved.
Amen.
I know that's painful for some of us, but everybody's not going to be saved.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians in Galatia. Folks are going to go back. See, the pool of the world, folks are coming to join the church, they'll get involved, but the pool of the world is going to cause some of us to turn and go back. It is what it is.
Amen.
It is what it is. There's folks, there are folks right here today, and not only this church, but church all over town, that love the wages of unrighteousness.
Amen.
And they may feel good, they come out, they feel good. And they'll get involved with the ministry, and then 2 Peter 2:15 says this, which have forsaken the right way, and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loves the wages of unrighteousness. Folks don't go back. Then there's folks out here in this world that have two masters. Luke 16:30 says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God.
Amen.
Amen. There's folks like that. And they're going to show up.
Amen.
They're going to show up. Then in Jesus' own words, in Luke 17:32, I thought this was interesting. He said, remember, Lot's wife.
Mm-hmm.
What's there to remember about Lot's wife? Lot's wife was told not to turn, not to look back. But why did she look back? Because she was connected to Sodom. She was connected. She was involved. She was a part of that community, of that society. And even though she was married to a just man, because the Word of God says Lot was a just man, but when it came down to it, she was too connected to all the sin and idolatry that was going on in Sodom. And when the angels had to drag it out of the house, he told her, don't look back. And she looked back. And the Word of God says she was turned into a pillar of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have false teachers and seducers that are going to pull some of you out of here. And you may not understand. A lot of folks that don't want to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
They want a nice message, and perhaps y'all pastor is just not nice.
Amen. So
open up that Bible, and I'm just sick of First Peter out of it. I don't even like people named Peter no more. 28 weeks of Peter. Beware of seducers. Look at 1 John 2:18-19. John had to come to this church and help them because the false teachers had overtook the church, overrun the church. And John comes in and says this. He says, little children. Now he's talking about John, the Apostle John, 90 plus years old, coming back to these young believers and said, little children. I heard this when Dave was praying. And I sit here and y'all know Dave, and he just, folks get up and pray. They just pray with your thoughts. Pray with the thoughts of the past. I just connect.
Amen.
But it says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. He said they went out for us, but they were not of us.
Amen.
But if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made, that it might be made manifest that they weren't of us.
Amen.
How do we make sure that we're not a casualty or a victim? Make sure you're born again.
Amen.
Make sure you're born again. We talk about it first Sunday. Examine yourself. Mm-hmm. Take that monthly test. Mm-hmm. Examine yourself. Make sure you have the right stuff.
Amen.
Ah. That's your brother Renner. See, Mr. Brother Renner, I am feeling like I'm in good company right now.
Amen.
Ask your loved ones, are you born again? Because that is the only way you're going to overcome this. Mm-hmm. Look at 1 John 5 says this. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Come on, Pastor. Paul said it best. I said, let me preach Christ and crucified.
Amen.
That's it. I had nothing else to say.
Amen.
I had nothing else to say. Maybe I have a lot to say later on today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But right now, I had nothing else to say to you guys. You got to endure some things.
Amen.
You're going to have to endure some things.
Yes.
As we try to get out of here. Clear the door for things. My wife said he's enduring some things. Mom's sick. A lot of work. Oh, we don't want to put her in a nursing home. We're going to all help. But it's like Paul said, he can say, Demas has forsaken me. Put some of her family members in there. Hope they buy this tape. Paul told Timothy, there's going to be four things you're going to have to endure, and I think some of y'all can really relate to this. He said, first thing you're going to have to endure, 2 Timothy 2 and 3. He said, therefore, endure hardness. Endure hardness. How, Paul? As a good soldier in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, when you come to the Lord, you become a soldier. We have soldiers up in here.
Amen.
See, a soldier in the Lord's army is a cross carrier. A soldier has to suffer as well as fight. And I work at a prison. I watch the inmates. They take the food. And I eat this garbage. They throw it in the trash. Throw it in the trash. They walk by me. Throw it in the trash. And I think about those soldiers out on the fields eating powder this and powder that. And then I look at them and I want to, can't hit them anymore. Sometimes I just want to choke them. We got soldiers on the battlefield putting their life on the line for this country, and y'all throwing the food in the trash can. A soldier has to suffer hardness. suffer hardness. I like this one. When you start talking about hardness, here's what a soldier has to do too. A soldier must be armed, trained up, disciplined, and made fit for service. Oh man, that sounds like the formula for the church. If you're gonna be a man of God, a woman of God, you must be armed, trained, and disciplined, and made fit for service.
Amen.
Many of us aren't. We're not prepared for battle.
Amen.
So we incognito, camouflaged. We got the black paint under our eyes and stuff. Nobody knows. Nobody in our family knows. And, you know, I'm serious about this. I mean, on Sundays we are.
Amen.
Serious about this thing. This Christianity. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
On Sunday. Know what else you got to endure? 2 Timothy 2:11, 2:10. All things.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Church, are you ready? You're going to endure all things. Paul says this. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I like this one. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, power with eternal glory. There's some folks out there that's going to be saved. And they're going to be saved by your preaching and teaching, your conversation, your behavior. You're just talking to them. You are one of them. Somebody has to preach you in. Faith coming out. By hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
You got to endure all things. Let me tell you something. A lost soul. And I said this before, y'all. That's a broken record. I might title this broken record. Listen. Your lost loved ones, your unsaved family members are going to watch you most when all hell is breaking out of your life. That's when they're going to find out what you are made of and how serious your Christianity is, how strong it is. That's right. What else must be endured? And here's one. So somebody, I know somebody's on somebody's mind now, but I got you.
Amen.
We must endure sound doctrine.
Amen.
We must endure sound doctrinal preaching.
Amen.
You know, I thought about this the other day. And I don't know if I told Cindy this or not. I don't know if I'm talking to myself. But we don't take a shower and get dressed and go out to anything. We don't go anywhere if it's not for 2-3 hours. Have you ever thought about it like that? Have you ever got dressed up and you're going out and you're going out and it's only 45 minutes? No.
No.
The football game was one quarter. Listen, ain't nobody driving all the way to Cleveland or Pittsburgh for 15 minutes of football.
Amen.
No. No, but we want to come to church. Our power. We don't want to, think about it. You go out to dinner. You look at it 2 hours. Especially you go out to Bourbon. You go sit in the lobby for 40 minutes with a little buzzer in your hand.
Amen.
And endure it.
And endure it. Well, we want to go to church. We want to get out of here quick.
Yeah.
You must endure sound doctrine, and you cannot, a preacher cannot preach sound doctrine in 15 minutes.
Amen.
10 minutes. Same thing. Oh, she killed us. Kids think, oh, I hear that. Listen. Sound doctrine, what is it? Gospel teaching.
Amen.
Gospel teaching. What is the gospel? Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. Listen, I like what Paul says to Peter. He says, listen, for the time will come, it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, for the time will come. Hence, there is a need of diligence now. Sound,
amen,
biblical preaching. Listen, Unsound persons cannot endure sound doctrine. Let me say that again. Unsound folks can't endure unsound doctrine. Now, y'all know I work for the state, and it's meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. And all the meetings are an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. And I was like, man, sign in. And that's all I really want. Just sign in. We've got to meet. You hear the word. You're here to hear the word of God.
Amen.
You invite your loved ones. You invite your friends. You invite your family. Come on. Listen. Y'all preaching way too long, but you need to hear the sound of God.
Amen.
Yes. Just tell them. Just tell them. You know, I would love to come to church with them. That's what I kind of preach to them. On and on and on. You need to hear the word of God explained to you clearly. Because you're not getting in, honey.
Amen.
You're not getting in on no junk.
Amen.
You got to endure. You got to know. Because you're going to be asking questions. Listen, it says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Listen, when you stand before the judge, he's asking you questions.
Amen.
And back in the old days, they would put a knife under the criminal's neck so he couldn't look down. He looked down, he'd kill himself. So he had to stand there and answer. And the question, you know, I know my kids, you know, you catch a wrong person, they go, whoop.
Yeah.
And they have a little harness, put the knife on there. So you have to look the judge dead in the eyes. And he said, you know, the money was missing off my dresser. Who ate my bag of salt and vinegars? Like, you gotta keep looking. You know when you got it. And they hit them. Listen, you have to endure sound doctrine. You have to endure hardness. You have to endure all things that many of us have gone through. And then in the last one, Paul talking to Peter in 2 Timothy 4, he said, you have to endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. He said, but watch, thou in all things endure afflictions. Trouble coming. Trouble's coming.
Amen.
Do the work of an evangelist. What was the work of an evangelist? See, people don't understand. They go, I'm an evangelist. Many people believe that office has ceased. You know, people say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm an evangelist. Well, you know, an evangelist's job was to go behind the apostles and make sure that the people understood the word of God.
Uh-huh.
Understood what the apostles had told them. He said, Lord, let's do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof. You know, don't be like a shady bartender. They cut all the liquor. You want to. I don't know where that comes from. I'm going to leave that alone. What is that? I think, look at Vernon leaning all over. Huh? Don't you run out of here, Vernon. I'm going to talk to you afterwards. Amen. Listen. And that was enough. Paul, Peter's giving them that. And then Peter says this, you have a great example. And you know what? And this is where I was trying to go. Verse 18. It's a great example. Peter never got it. Peter loved the Lord and talked about the Lord all the time. When you love somebody, you're going to talk about
them. Amen.
You're going to talk about them. And, yeah, and you, if you love being married, I love being married. I was talking to one of the female officers, and she's married, and the inmates were going around, why she's so mean is because her husband leaving her. And we was talking, and I was just sharing how much I do. I really do love being married. I love everything that comes with being married.
Amen.
I love being around folks that love being married. I don't like being around folks that don't like being married.
Uh-huh.
Just married. That's unhealthy.
Amen.
Okay, you get caught up in that stuff. You know, husbands and wife, don't badmouth them. You ain't got nothing good to say about them. Don't say nothing.
Amen.
Stuff don't say nothing. Nothing worse. Peter says this. He said, you got a great example. Who's our example? Christ.
Amen.
What a great example. He says, here's what Peter says in 3:18. He said, and Peter reminds them that Christ is our example. He's our example, and he's a great example. Look what he said. For Christ. 4 points. Suffered. Once for our sins. Christ suffered.
Christ didn't suffer. He suffered. He suffered for the sins of the world. And you don't have to go any further. I got so many scriptures here, but I don't know. Touch one, maybe two. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Talk about suffering of the Lord.
Yeah.
So somebody asked you, why did the Lord suffer? Because it was prophesied that he was going to suffer. Isaiah said he was going to suffer. Isaiah said this, he is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. Then he gives four types of suffering that Jesus suffered. He said he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. Think about that. Not for his. He didn't have any. He was wounded for our transgressions. They suffered fear in his side.
Uh-huh.
He was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised. He was beaten beyond recognition. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You're talking about preacher. The chastisement of our peace. God chastised his son so that we can have peace. This has got to be shocking to these followers, but he has to remind them why they're moaning and groaning. You moaning and groaning, and God saved you. How? He was wounded. He was bruised. His chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
And don't let the word of faith people tell you, the stripes, everybody healed, you're not going to get sick. That's not what it says.
Amen.
Spiritual healing.
Amen.
Those stripes represent that you will be healed spiritually.
Amen.
Spiritually. You need them. Look at Romans. Romans 5. It says this in verse 6. And when you were without strength, how about that? You were out of strength. You were weak. Sin was in total control of your life. You had nothing to fight sin off with. You was ill-equipped for battle. Sin had you doing whatever it wanted you to do.
Amen.
You was flunky for Satan. And you know what it says? And when you were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen. As we move to this wonderful text in 3:18, and we're gonna stay there. I'm gonna finish it right there. Listen, he suffered once. I like that. He suffered once.
Mm-hmm.
One time.
Yeah.
Now you have to remember, in the Old Testament, they were making sacrifices on a daily basis, washing and offerings and sacrifices. Jesus died once.
Amen.
His sacrifice was so great that he only had to die once.
Amen.
One time. You know, in Roman Catholic, they have 350,000 masses every day. Every day.
Uh-huh.
Jesus died
once.
Once. He died once.
Amen.
Why? Why? That's good news. You know that's good news. Why is that good news, preacher? Because he only died once. You only got to die once.
Yeah.
You don't want to go through that twice. You don't want to know I want to die twice. You only have to die one time. Then somebody said, let's get it over with. You only have to die one time. One time. But after that, judgment. Now, I never looked at that scripture before like this. But look at Hebrews 9:26. We always quote 9:27. And it says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
Then he says in verse 27, and it is appointed unto me once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, it's like hiring somebody. And they have a probationary period. I believe Dave just got a new job. He started last week. He's most likely on probation, but since Jake's best friend owns the whole company, that's not a real good. That's probably not a real good illustration. But on our job, we walk with folks out every day. We got all these new officers and they ain't worth a nickel. And we walk them out every day, somebody get walked out. And that's their probationary period. Probationary period, you get to prove yourself.
That's right.
Okay? Now, after that, judgment. Where are we at, folks? Probationary period. And then we're going to stand before the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to say, well, why should he keep you? Why should I let you into my heaven? Well, my mother there. That ain't a good answer. I got a lot of friends there. My pastor might be there. You have to know what you know. You have to know what you know. And a good place to start would be John 3:16. You know, I believe John 3:16, Lord, that you so loved the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What does it mean, believe in him? I believe every miracle that he performed. I believe every teaching he taught. I believe every discourse. I just believe the Lord died. I believe he was sinless. I believe that he died on the cross. I really believe that he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. I'll be getting somewhere.
Amen.
Now you're talking to a wise judge. You can tell me that. But I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. So you need to know what you know. And this is the method of my madness. This is why I continue to preach the gospel. Because you need to know. So I want y'all to get up there. Say that man and teach us something. Wait till he get down here with us. Get him, I'm gonna dash my feet at it for real. I need to know something.
Amen.
House of God is place to learn. It's not entertainment center.
Amen.
Learn something to hear and be able to take it home. And when you're sitting around the table tonight, talk about it.
Amen.
Ask your grandmother. Ask Titu. Titu, you believe all that preacher was saying? Why? What do you mean? Do you ask your father? Really, Dad? You really buy into all that? Seriously? He needs to have the right answer for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
Amen.
Yeah, I believe it. Not only did Christ suffer. Not only did he die once. But here's the he died the just for the unjust. I thought that was interesting too. The just for the unjust. He was just.
Amen.
He was without sin. He was spotless. I talk about the wife's here. I listen to my wife. Y'all may not think I do, but I listen to her. That's why I don't have a business meeting. She got to sit in the back anymore. But I listen to my wife. And Pilate listened to his wife. Watch this. It was judging. They were judging Jesus. Pilate's wife had a restless night. She had a restless night. Look what she told her husband. She says, and when he was set down at judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man.
Amen.
For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. I would love to have been a part of that dream to know what she dreamed. It wasn't good. But Pilate trusted his wife. He trusted her opinion. Look what Pilate says in verse 27-24. What's that? Five verses later? His wife had an impact on him. His wife said, no, don't play second fiddle. You confront him. They're wrong. You're wrong. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing,
But that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude by looking over at his wife, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Pilate was governor. You don't get into those positions by being stupid. By not having discernment. You have to. I like this. Here's Peter. Talk about the just one. Peter wasn't secret friendly. He wasn't secret friendly. We talked about that this morning. Stephen wasn't secret friendly. You know, these preachers today, they secret friendly. They go out and they go out to the community and they find out what the people want. You know, what would you like in a church? If we were to put a church in your community, what would you like? Ooh, nice stuff to play. Kids have somewhere to go. Kids don't have nowhere to go anymore. Make the church nice. No?
Preach the word.
Here's what Peter said. And don't get me wrong, I think the church love coming to church. I hope your church, I hope Shana and Kaylin and Ray and Bobby and Keelan and Gabby, how you doing, Gabby? I hope that you love coming to church. For the right reasons, but it ought to be a place where they feel safe.
Amen.
It ought to be a place where they can come in and if they're hungry, get something to eat. If they need to talk to somebody, they can talk to somebody. I think God is doing a wonderful job in equipping this church to do that.
Amen.
Well, here's Peter being secret friendly. Peter wasn't secret friendly. He was talking to thousands of people in Acts 3:14. He says this. When they ask him about the Lord, and he's confronting them. You know what? I'm going to turn there. I have to turn there. Acts 3:12. I'm looking at 12. Look at Peter. Acts 3:12. Fascinating verse. It says, and when Peter saw it, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Talk about the man that was standing outside the gate asking for alms, and Peter and Paul blessed him, and he was healed, not by their power, by God's power. Look what he said in verse 13. Secret friendly. Keep that in mind. Secret friendly Peter. He's not secret friendly. And the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the son of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Why did Pilate want to let him go? Because he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a sinless man. He was without sin. Just like the thief on the cross said, he is without sin. Look at Peter. And ye denied the Holy One and the just. How about that? The Holy One and the just. And desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life. Look at the names that Peter gives the Lord. You think he ever forgot? Peter never forgot his relationship with the Lord. And he didn't care how people felt about it. He had that boldness that we need as men and women of God. It would say, and then now you deny the Holy One and the just and desire the murderer to be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life whom God had raised from the dead. Whereof we are witnesses. He's just. He's the just one. Why did all this happen? I'm getting really close. Why did all this happen? Why did he have to die? Why did he die one time? Why was the just die? Why did the just die for the unjust? Look at the last part of verse 18. You know, saying, you got a lot of that verse. I sure did. He had a lot of that verse. Why did he die? Why did he die all at once? Why? Why did Christ die? To bring us to God. To bring us to Christ. That's what the verse says. To bring us to Christ. Being put to death in the flesh. To bring us to God. To bring us to God. Folks, Jesus died to bring us to God. He died for our sins, not his. He died so that we could have an opportunity to come to Christ.
Amen.
When he died, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. From top to bottom. Listen, you understand all that? I hope you do. It's going to be on the test. It's going to be on the test. You know, you're in school and the teachers tell you to write this down. It's going to be on the test.
Amen.
Write that down. Why did he die? It's going to be on the test. How did he die? He was put to death in the flesh as a man. And you know, and here has the prefix that he was put to death in the flesh as a man.
Amen.
He was a man. He had a human body. He suffered. He grew. He grieved. He bled. He was troubled. He died. He wept. He was a man. And he died in the flesh as a man. But you know what? The last part of that verse. No. It's just at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just at me. All right, Gabby. Gabby's tired now. Gabby's saying, okay. I hear you. She already. She's joining the church again. Listen, verse 18. Being put to death in the flesh, but was quickened by his spirit. What's that? What's that all saying? Amen. Jesus, spirit never died. His spirit never died. And that's why when you look at verse 19, we're going to cover it next week. Your spirit never died. And your spirit will never die neither. Your flesh is going to die.
Uh-huh.
Absent from the body. Present with the Lord. What are you going to say when you get that pop quiz? Are you going to have the right answers? Make sure you have the right answers. That's why I plead and beg folks, come out. Come out to Bible study. Come out to Sunday school. We teach you the book of Mark on Wednesday night. And I know we've been taking our time. But you know what? If you understand the book of Mark, you understand the gospel. And all your questions will be answered. I pray that you guys will consider these things. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, we thank you this morning.